What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbis. It's a beautiful day here in New Jersey. It is about 85 degrees, which is, for us, that's nice and warm. It's actually a little hot, and I kind of don't like that hot, but I have a feeling you guys are going to have something to say about that. But I get to welcome in the brothers, triplets, from the band Trip. Guys, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I'm excited to get to know you guys and talk about your music, because you guys rock. So thanks for coming to hang with me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you having us on.
Of course. So here's the deal. Ready? You guys are triplets. I'm a twin. I always thought I was cool because I was a twin, and like, not that many people are twins, right? But you guys are triplets. This brings a whole other dynamic to things, right? Because like, obviously I grew up with a brother, and you know, we had our things, but as triplets, like, do you have any other siblings? Is it just the three of you guys? Like,
we've got an older sister as well. So my parents have got a full house.
Yeah. So was it easy growing up together as triplets, or like, you know, obviously I just asked like whose name was who. So like, that probably got a little weird, especially if you all had different hairstyles or the same hairstyle.
Oh, dude, my parents, they've been looking at us every day for 22 years. They still can't figure it out.
So do you guys get like a, they call you one thing and then halfway through the name, they flip it and they say another one?
Yeah, they'll say a name, realize that it's wrong, and then flip on to the next name. And most of the time, the second name they say is also wrong. So it takes them.
They got a 1 in 3 shot.
They just flip through the Rolodex of names of all the kids they got.
I love it. So let's start from the beginning. Just give me a little bit of a background about the three of you and you know, kind of how you decided to go and pursue this music dream together. I understand that you guys are from Arkansas, and now you all live in Tennessee together, kind of doing some different things, and we'll dive into that a little bit. But how did you get to this point where, well, one, you wanted to do music, and two, you wanted to do it together? Because that's a whole other aspect of it.
Absolutely. So we don't necessarily come from a musical family, but our parents love music, and we were raised on music. Our dad manages several country radio stations, classic rock, you know, all different kinds of radio stations in our hometown of Jonesboro. So we grew up, you know, exposed to particularly traditional country, but all kinds of music. And so we grew up playing together. But when we hit high school, we took it a little bit more serious. We started figuring out that, okay, if we go play some shows, we can meet some, you know, good looking women, make some money, have a little fun, get into a little trouble. But man, so we did that for a couple of years. And our senior year of high school, when COVID hit, we came over to Nashville and recorded original music for the first time. And we'd been writing for a while, but that was the first time we'd ever recorded anything. And we put out in our debut single, Can't Do the Time, at the end of 2019.
Great harmonies.
Thanks, man. And then put out our debut EP the next month in January of 2020, mm-hmm. Right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of when COVID hit. So that, that put a damper on things for us. But man, we ended up coming over to Nashville, found a small music school over here that we decided to go to. Me and Tracy are still there. We're going into senior year. And then Chaz was there for probably 5 or 6 days before he decided that it was not going to be in the plan. But he's been a full-time musician over here.
I'm doing all right.
But we're still kicking, man. We're living the dream, dude.
I love it. So now you just brought a whole other aspect. I knew this, but I didn't know if you're going to bring it up or not. So you guys are at Belmont, right? So, you know, Tracy and JD, you two are at Belmont, and tell me if I'm wrong here. JD, you're doing songwriting, right?
Sorry.
And Tracy in biblical studies, correct?
Yeah.
Very cool. Two separate things. Now, before we get into all that, dude, I got to ask, 5-6 days. What was your point where you said, screw it? Now, I say this as a guy who graduated college a few years ago, but I do not believe that you need a college degree to do what you want.
You can
go trade. You can do literally whatever you want. You don't need a degree. There's a ton of successful people out there doing things that other people have degrees to do, and they do them without them. So, why, like, what was the tipping point when you said, I'm out of here, I'm done?
Well, I mean, to me, I was going to go to be a songwriting major, you know, probably most likely. And I mean, we write songs every dang day, you know, so it's like, you know, it's like, I didn't, I mean, he's going there and that's great. He's going to get the songwriting degree and the whole nine yards. But at the end of the day, you know, if he's getting a publishing deal, I'm probably going to get one too, you know. So like dude, it's whatever. It's going to work out no matter what. So.
And then you get to save a little money too. I mean,
sure. It's nice because we, you know, me and Tyson live on campus and Chaz lives off campus. So it's nice to have one of us that just runs around and explores the other parts of Nashville. And yeah, he's done a good job of finding just different ways to get our name out there over the past couple years.
Yeah, that's really cool. So do you two live together or no? Separately?
We did. We're done this semester though, so we're all living in this tiny apartment.
Okay. Now let me ask: when you guys were kids, did you all share a room?
Oh yeah, we did.
So now it's like back to square one.
Until 10 or 11, we were bunk beds and the whole 9 yards, man.
I was a bunk bed kid too. I get it. Listen, I get it. I was the top bunk guy. And I was the guy who would move around a lot in my sleep. So my brother would kick the top of my bed in the middle of the night because I'd piss him off. So, you know, that's just,
I was also a top bunk menace. We actually grew up with another set of triplets, and that made me feel less weird about the bunk bed thing because they were the other set of triplets in town did the bunk bed thing too.
Oh, so wow. Small town Arkansas, two sets of triplets. Who would have thought? That's crazy. I didn't meet a set of triplets until I went to college, and I went 2.5 hours away. So two sets, one town. That's pretty wild. But for Belmont, you know, for Tracen, for you, right? Like biblical studies is a little bit different, but also there's like, you know, now listen, I'm not a biblical studies major, so I don't know. But what I'm thinking is like, you know, there's obviously hymns and gospel music involved in there. Like, is there any music in that side of things or no? Is it strictly nose to the grindstone, the Bible all day long type deal?
Mostly Bible, but I mean, I do listen to some Christian music. I mean, there's a lot of it today is more pop. So, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the pop Christian music, but I do get into, like, you know, there's a few I like, so.
Sure. So do you think that not going this, like, okay, I don't mean this in any like bad way, but Belmont's filled with a lot of songwriting majors, right? Like Belmont is a huge music school in terms of the pipeline of going to Belmont and then going to Nashville and doing the thing, right? And it's kind of a jump start because you get to meet people and you know, obviously the whole trickle effect. Now, being a separate major, does that allow you to you know, for lack of a better term, not stale out in terms of music? Like, you're not playing, you're not around music and doing it as a quote unquote job per se, or as a student. And, you know, you're studying something totally different, which allows you to keep that passion, or like, do you see it that way? I don't know. That's just.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm just kind of, it's just a matter of balance and just doing both at the same time. So right now I'm just enjoying doing both of them and just trying to incorporate ways I can do both of them in my life. So, yeah.
I love that. And I say that as a guy who did not go to school for music or obviously not because I'm
I think it definitely helps. You know, Tracen's more focused on live performance. And so any rehearsing that he's doing or anything, you know, he's spending his time preparing for live shows. You know, whereas me and Chaz, any free time we have, we're writing songs and making music. So we, you know, we're around it all the time. It's a little harder for us to burn out on it.
And you guys kind of counteract each other pretty well, would you say?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. I think
it's hard not to when you live in a 10 foot apartment and on one side somebody's playing Tyler Childers and on the other side somebody's playing Dying Fetus.
Yeah.
so do you guys music taste wise then, do you clash at all, or is it like
it's all over the board? Yeah, it's everywhere. We definitely clash, but we do share a lot of the same influences, especially when we meet in the middle and kind of do a southern rock kind of thing. That's where we're at our strongest.
Well, that's where I was going to go because, you know, like you guys do have a very country aspect to your sound, right? But you do have a very rock, southern rock heavy, bluesy type.
I still do that to you, man. You come over here and you start stepping on Broadway and you see the energy level of these shows over here that some of these guys are putting on. You got to step it up. So that's a lot. That's really where a lot of the southern rock stuff came from, was just trying to raise the energy level of our live performances.
So as of right now, for the three of you across the board, because I listen to music like it's my, like I get paid to do it, and I don't, and I listen to music, right? So
like, we make music like we're getting paid to make music.
That's right. As you should, but one day, remember that.
One of these days, man, God will.
That's right. So across the three of you, like who are some of your favorite artists right now? Like, give me one person that you think everyone should be listening to across the board. So Tracen, we'll start with you, and we'll go left to right or right to left.
I'm so interested to see what this answer is going to be.
I'd say, I mean, as far as country goes, I would say Johnny Cash. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of out, like, especially just from like the 60s and stuff I've been listening to, that it's like most people just know him for, you know, Ring of Fire and Ghost Fires in the Sky and stuff like that. Sure. But if you really dig deep into his catalog, like, I was listening to this one album called like Ride This Train. It's just a really good album. I really love that one. So
one of my favorite Johnny Cash songs is Boy Named Sue, besides the
Bible. Oh, yeah.
JD, what about you?
Taz, skip. Yeah, I'll come back to me.
JD listens to way too many people. That's why. He just can't. I'd say for me, there's a guy right now that I really enjoy. His name's Josh Malloy. I don't know if you've.
Yeah, for sure.
I really, really love his stuff, man. Yeah. We've been doing a lot of covering a lot of his stuff.
Cool.
Out at shows and stuff. So, but I really enjoy his stuff. Yeah. You know.
Dude, I think one of the best songwriters in country music that nobody's heard of is, what's his name? Give me a second. Les Bayless. He's the lead singer for the band called Steelwoods.
Yep.
And dude, their songs, man, just the greatest writing I've ever heard.
The Steelwoods, they rock. Like, let's be honest.
Best voice out there. He's right there next to Stapleton, man, when it comes to vocals and lyrics, man.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think that obviously that's telling with those guys.
Dream tour run is opening things up for the Steelwoods.
If you say it now, you never know. You know what I'm saying?
That's Stephen Wilson Jr. I'll say that one too.
Yeah, okay. There's a really small venue in Nashville called The End. You can probably fit 100 people in there. There's a guy we saw. He just signed to Big Loud, but he was opening for Everett, a small kind of folk rock band. Mm-hmm. But this dude's name is Stephen Wilson Jr., and he's probably the best songwriter I've heard come through Nashville in a while. He is a machine.
Yeah, it's he's great. I've heard him. He's awesome. I think he's really, really cool. And I did see that he just signed, which is huge for guys that are so songwriter heavy. I mean, I think that's really big for.
I love the real. Real just from the middle of nowhere country dude. Yeah, you're starting to make it over to Nashville and start to infiltrate the songwriting world, because it's definitely helped take things in the direction it's
for
it's
sure supposed to. So I talk about this all the time. This has kind of like been a theme of over the last, I've been doing this for a few years at this point, I've been probably 3 years or so, pretty much on the money. But over the last couple of years, I've been talking about what I call the shift, right? The shift in the industry and the shift in the sound. I'm not saying that you know, the stuff from a few years ago is not there, because that's not the case, but you have a lot of, like you're saying, you have a lot of guys that are from hole in the wall areas that are just popping out of nowhere that are playing a very traditional sound or a very old school sound and making it their own. And I think that those are great examples, right? Like, you know, guys like that are really kind of pushing through. And I think people are really saying, you know what, like, this is what I always found cool. And just at some point in life, it wasn't the cool thing, and now it's cool again. So I'm just gonna, you know, do everything I can to take advantage of that and show everyone like what I got and what I think is awesome.
I think Hardy's kind of leading the charge. I mean, I really do believe that country rock is kind of the next thing up to pass through country radio, which is going to be great. It's going to piss off a lot of people, like it always does. But in my opinion, it's better than a lot of the pop stuff making it back onto radio.
Yeah.
The country rock's going to come through, and then I think we're finally going to have at least a brief moment where traditional country comes back into the spotlight, and some of these Jake Worthingtons of the world are going to really pop up.
You are 100% correct.
Even Wilson Jr., the day he gets on country radio, man, it'll be a good...
That's for sure. And you know what's funny is like you have a guy like Jake, right? And I mean, like, let's be frank, Jake's not around if Cody Johnson's not paving the way a few years earlier, exactly. Right? And like
well, I don't think any of us are around, or any of this is
no. This is not possible.
Sturgill didn't come, and then Chris, and then now Cody, man, just the world of independent real country artists are saving all of our asses.
I 100% agree, and it's not possible if you don't have guys like Cody who say, yeah, go ahead, right? Like this is a guy who probably could have gotten a record deal almost 10 years ago, but you know, he decided, I'm not going to do that until you're ready to let me do what I want to do. Right. I'm all fine staying in Texas and playing end to end, make a pretty damn good living. That's exactly what he did. And then once they were ready to let him do what he wanted to do, he did that. And that's why you're seeing guys like you're mentioning, right? Like, you see guys like Cody, and you see guys like Jake, and you see all these guys go ahead and Hardy too. Hardy's a good example, right? Hardy's doing exactly what he wants to do. That's 100%.
Hardy's one of the few guys, you know, him and Morgan both, you know, they have both hands on the wheel of country music, and they can physically, with a couple releases, turn it either way. Sure. And so, you know, I'm excited to see where it goes.
I 100% agree. I think that
Jackson Dean to the world and those guys that are getting up there. I mean, I think he just got another song that hit radio. So he's cooking with gas.
Yeah, we're in really good hands is the way I see it, honestly. Yeah, and a few years ago, I probably didn't agree with that. But now I think we're okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think everything will be okay. And that being said, I always preface it like this. Like, you have to have the one thing to have the other thing. Like, there needs to be both, and you don't have to like it all. But there needs to be both, or there's no genre. Because then the roots of the genre are gone. And then what is it? It's just popular music again. You know what I mean? So I completely agree with you guys. And I think that it's cool that you're following that road of things and that footstep of things. And I think that's really
it's been really cool to see that shift, because we've always followed it from the artist side, but finally moving over here to Nashville and writing and trying to work our way up the publishing side of things. It's been cool to see that shift, because it's all about who's cutting. If the traditional country guys and the Cody Johnsons of the world are cutting, well, then that's the kind of music that everyone's writing, and those are where the cuts are going to go.
Right.
You know,
100%.
Just cool to see that.
I agree. So the three of you moved to Nashville a few years ago. You've been there for a couple of years, for a few years at this point. You know, what has been the thing that maybe you least expected would be maybe a struggle or something that maybe came easy to you? Like what are those things? And you can all just put in your input of what you think. Maybe you all have different answers. I don't know. But, you know, what has been that thing that maybe you struggled with, or maybe you're like, oh, I actually thought this was going to be a little bit harder.
Yeah. Man, I think I'll speak for our entire class that graduated in 2020 and moved away from their tiny small towns to big cities to go to college, and then you get stuck in a big city and you're locked in a dorm doing online school. It was it was really tough, man. Mental health, it was not a game for us. It took us from about the time we moved here until I'd say last fall to really, really get our shit back together back in control of what we were doing, because it was really tough, man. It was confusing. Just really hard. I won't go into specifics, but man, I know I speak for everyone else in our class when it was, you know, it couldn't have been harder. But it was, you know, it everything happens for a reason, man. We survived it. It made us tougher. It prepared us for, I mean, if we can survive what we went through, man, and you know, I feel like we can face anything else that we're going to face in our career. So, you know, we take it with a grain of salt. We do appreciate everything that we did go through. It was definitely. You know what?
I'm really glad you said that, because, you know, I don't know if oftentimes people come to terms and come out and say things like that, because like it was a really hard time. And, you know, you guys graduated high school, I graduated college and, you know, at the exact same time you know, to turn it on to my, like, you go ahead and you look at jobs that are there and they're not. So you're just like, okay, well now what, you know what I mean? And you know, that's really hard. But the one thing that really helped me, through it all was, and I always say this, but, you know, music was there. Music's there when no one else is, or when you think no one else is, right? Okay. So for me, like, that was a big, you know, that was a driver of my life at that point. And I'm sure it was for you guys. I'm sure it was for a lot of people. You know, everyone always says music heals.
It was all we had, man. I mean, doing that's really what got us. We were never fans of the TikTok thing, but that is really what forced us to get into it. And you're not going to open the app and catch Trayson doing a dance to walk or something.
Are you sure?
Probably not, man. I hope not. It is,
pigs will fly on that day.
Pigs will fly. But I don't know, man. It had its pros and cons. It definitely, you know, we got a one-way ticket out of school, and we did get this, although we were locked in the basement on, you know, COVID lockdown, that did force us to just really spend, I mean, what, 4 or 5 months just writing, recording, and really figuring out, you know, our sound and our brand musically. Yeah. Prior to coming to Nashville. And if COVID wouldn't have happened and we were doing school, that would have never happened. And we wouldn't have been able to come over to Nashville prepared for what was waiting this year. Cause it's been a huge blessing. It's
important to look at it that way. It really is, guys. I think it's important that you see it that way, and that you see it as something that kind of sucked. Right. But also there is a positive to it. And, you know, for me, I have same things go on. Like, there was a lot of positives to it. Again, like I always say, this would not have started if I didn't have all the time in the world and no job to do anything. Right? Like, the only reason why I didn't start this earlier was because I was too busy, right? And now all you have is time, and you, yep. you choose what to do with it, right? Like it is there. You either choose to waste it or you choose to capitalize it. And I'm glad. And I'm glad you guys did. I really am. I think that, that's really important.
So the only thing we didn't do was say, screw it. Let's make a podcast.
That's guys. We could have all teamed up. Could have been the four.
Could have been doing this, man.
Grayson could have been dancing behind us. Could have worked on his dance. It would have been awesome.
I don't know about that one.
It could have been great. Hey, listen, buddy, if it makes you feel any better, I somehow got stuck in a dance circle the other day, and I was not happy about it. I moved like the Tin Man. It's just not, it doesn't look good. All right. I don't
get like the little head nod for me. I may raise like a little fist.
I'm the head nod, the snapping of the fingers. You know how Shakira always said, my hips don't lie. Well, mine do. And we're not doing that. So
my hips are not talking.
they're not talking. I love it. So what is it? You know, like you said, let me rephrase this. Do you think, you know, like if you look back, right, you're 22 years old. If you look back 4 or 5 years, do you think you're here, not even just in Nashville, but just as a trio, as a band together, playing music at a very high level, might I add? Like it is not, when I listen to you and when I hear your recordings, but also, you know, as I scroll through social media and I see these live performances, it's not, you know, it's not a beginner state of things, in my personal opinion. I mean, we're going to get into it. You've played the Opry, like you've done some cool things that guys at 22 don't get to do, especially as bands. I feel like it's a little bit harder to break through as a band than it is as a solo artist, right?
Especially in country music, man. There aren't any bands anymore, man.
Yeah,
it's hard. So
those people that you know we're worth buying into. Yeah,
right. And have you seen, like, again, 4 or 5 years ago, would you see yourself where you are right now? Musically, you know, professionally, in terms of being just humans in general, like, would you have ever seen yourself here now today?
Absolutely not, yeah, no man. Way. You know, when we were playing the Opry, people always asked us, was that even like, well, you know, oh, was that a goal of y'all's?
And even sure.
Hell no, man. We never, that was never on the list. We never thought that anything like that would be anything that we'd ever get to do, you know? I remember, you know, the first gigs we started out playing, we were on like a straw floor mat with one speaker out behind a church at like a ball or something. Like, dude, we've been doing this for 8 years now. We've done, you know, hundreds and hundreds of shows for no one, and for no one giving a single shit about anything we're doing.
Yeah.
You have to go through that as an artist, and that's what's dangerous about TikTok. For a lot of the, and I don't, you know, I'm not gonna call anybody out, but we all know, you know, certain artists that have popped off on that app with no live experience. They've written maybe one song for themselves and they think they're ready to go on tour with the biggest artists in country music and, you know, in music in general. And it's just, it's immediate failure.
Because
it's a game and it's a war, the music industry is, and you have to figure out how to play it and how to fight it and how to protect yourself if you want to maintain the authenticity of your music and just the genuineness of your brand, you know.
Yep.
It's very tough and it's a tough game to play.
What I think is really cool about everything you just said is you know, you said that there are guys that can't hack it and they think they can because they just haven't, frankly, they could be, and they are most of the time, very talented individuals. They just haven't focused on the things that they need to focus on to be you know, that three tool player. Now what I think is really cool is there's three of you, right? And you've already said, you know, like Trayson really focuses on that live aspect of things, and the two of you really focus on the songwriter, but you also probably focus on the live aspect of things. What's really good is like you have this one constant in your brother that really wants to focus on that live show, and he's got that one constant, the two of you guys, and together, you know, there's not really a slacking point because you know, whether you guys really focus on the songwriting, maybe Trayson, maybe, you know, maybe you do love writing songs, but maybe you don't want to focus all your time on that because there's some things that you like more. You're allowed to do that because there's three of you, right? And there's slack that's being picked up there. Now, was that a struggle, like as bandmates, to be able to, you know, allow one brother to kind of take the reins on something and allow the other brother to take the reins on something?
I don't think it never really was, man, because we always, I mean, we decided from an early age that, you know, pretty much as soon as we started doing this, as soon as we started coming to Nashville and we had, you know, we started having friends get signed and seeing what that process is like, you know, we always sort of said that, you know, as far as record labels are concerned, we're never really going to get involved. We're going to try to stay independent, and, you know, we'll prepare for any opportunities that come our way. But, you know, for the first couple of years of our career, and even up until recently, we've all had different roles as an independent band, you know, whereas you've got an independent artist, one person, you know, trying to manage themselves, book themselves, create social media content, answer the phone, check emails, schedule. It's ridiculous, man. It's insane. But having three of us to split up all of those individual jobs, and having an amazing family that's willing to back us, and, you know, they did that, and they're still, you know, one call away if we need them at this point. It's having that support, and having that, you know, a strong support base in your hometown, a place you can come back to and feel that love and support when you do go over to Nashville and get kicked in the face and people tell you you suck, and it's hard, man. But we're very blessed with a great support system, an amazing hometown and community, and just, I mean, independent fan base that we've built for ourselves over the past 7 years. And it's not a huge fan base, but they're strong and they're proud, and we appreciate them and we love them, and everybody that's ever invested anything in us, we do appreciate it.
That's incredible. I think that's awesome.
We're still doing it, man.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. You guys are young, you're humble, and I think that'll take you really far. I need to ask you, Trayson, what is your favorite part about this live show? Like, what do you, you know, like, I always say that there's a little bit of adrenaline rush, like, when I listen to songs that I love. Like, what is your favorite part about putting on a show and getting up there on stage and kind of executing that whole process?
Showing off.
Do you show off a little bit?
Show off, man. I'm telling you.
We do a ZZ Top cover of a grand on a beer and start singing, and it's just a whole different animal when you're on stage.
I thought he said the beer. I thought he said the
beer. Yeah, he said the beer. That's what he said. Sorry. That's what the preacher said.
That's right.
You heard it here first.
That's right. That's awesome, though. So do you like, is it that moment where, like, you know that everyone's kind of singled in on you? Do you like that? Like, does that
get all the middle-aged women come up to the front of the stage and they're trying to touch him? Do they? No. That's his favorite part.
There's nothing better than that. Are you kidding? It's Cougar Hunt.
Can't beat it with a stick, dude.
It's Cougar Hunt. I love it. I love it. Hey, you can say it. It's all right. It's all right. It happens. I'm sure that one day you're going to get, you know how, like, you see those videos of, like, Riley Green playing the guitar and someone throws their bra up on stage and it, like, hangs around the neck of his guitar? That's going to be you, Trayson. That's going to be
not, we're not. Right. We're not far away.
I better watch out for that.
He's going to come. He's going to. So we got the answer. That's what I was looking for. We got an answer, and that's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. Now, unbelievable. Now, Chaz, as a full-time musician currently, right?
Sure.
I feel like people kind of put on this notion that, like, you know, they just wake up and write a song, and then, you know, there's just great. And, like, it's obviously not that easy.
Sure.
And
I don't know, man. You just described his daily routine. Yeah.
Well, if that's the case,
pick up, grab a beer out the fridge, write a song.
And if that's the case, you're a damn lucky son of a bitch, because I wish that could be me. I just want to but you know, what is it, as being a full-time musician, like, you know, I'm sure that you had a feeling when you left school, like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. What are those hurdles that you've had to jump through? And you know, also, like, what are those things where you've probably woken up and been like, man, All I got to do today is play my guitar. Like, is that I'm sure you've had those moments. Let's be honest.
Right. When I left school, you know, I left school and I call myself a full-time musician or whatever, but there was a point in time where I had to get a real job, you know.
Of course.
And so I did the delivering pizza thing. I worked at Gibson for a while, actually.
There you go.
That's building cool. guitar stuff. So that was cool. But we're at a point now where we're turning enough where I don't have to work a job anymore, so now I guess I can't call myself a full-time
musician. There you go.
But there was a time where I did, you know, I guess struggle, you call it, but I was working a real job, whatever. And you know, it was cool or whatever, but it's cool to be able to just wake up and make music.
No matter what level we've been at, man, we've always enjoyed it and tried to just enjoy whatever level we're at, because it's, you know, it is what it is. Even
it's supposed to be fun,
right? Papa John's job, man, it's part of the game. It's part of the experience, man.
it's supposed to be fun, right? I mean, like, that's why you do music, right? Like, you guys at 10 years old said, oh, maybe I want to do some music. Why do you want to do music? Because it's fucking fun. That's why. That's it. There's no
other reason. It's never easy, man. The further up you go, the harder it gets, the more demanding it gets, the more pressure there is, the more people you got to please, the more hands you got to have reaching into the pot. And it's, you know, it's tough, but man, we're just blessed to even still be doing this and be over here, man, and blessed that and thankful that Chaz is no longer working at Papa John's.
Listen, from where I'm from, Papa John's is not good pizza. So I'm glad you have Papa John's.
It's not good pizza, especially when he was making it, which is why he's no longer working at Papa John's.
It's like, you know, remember when the thing came out about Chuck E. Cheese and all the pizza being uneven? That's how I imagine Chaz cutting the pizza for Papa John's. Yeah. It's all like different size slices.
It wasn't pretty, dude. It wasn't pretty.
Hey, but I'm sure you guys got some free food out of it. So, I mean, maybe that's a plus. Or maybe.
I don't think they gave him free food, but I think he took
the free food. That's how it goes.
Never mind. Sorry, Papa John.
Deny. They'll never know. It's all right. So you guys have some music out, obviously. You just put out, this year, you put out Flowers and Wine, right? That is a single that you've put out. Does this lead to something else? Maybe a bigger project, maybe an EP, maybe more singles. What does it say?
We just recorded new music. We're trying to figure production out on those. And man, we've just got a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes right now. And we're very blessed to have a bunch of things in the works. We're trying to figure out the right move for us. But in the midst of everything going on, in the meantime, while we're trying to figure out what songs to put out next, whether we want to put out a full album, whatever, you know, we're looking at doing. We're going to be touring and we're going to be playing shows as many as possible. I think we've got 40 to 50 dates on the calendar right now for the next 3 or 4 months. Nice. So we're excited, man. We're going to get on the road. We're going to come see everybody. We're going to play some new music and some old music, and it's going to be great.
That's incredible. What is one of those shows that you're really excited for? Like, if there's one on the calendar and you have it circled and you're like, this.
There's
one.
A bunch, dude.
There's quite a few.
That's a really tough question because I'm sure you're excited for that.
Yeah. There's a few. We're playing in our hometown. There's one, it's kind of later this year, but in September it's Barbecue Fest. But we've been playing it like every year, and we've kind of worked our way up to now this year we're opening for the headliner. But that's a pretty big deal for us. And they've got a pretty big headliner coming in that year, but that's a hometown show, you know, that everybody comes out.
Is it cool to see family and friends and stuff like that, and like buddies?
Awesome. It's
always good to get back home.
I think the first time we played that festival, we opened for Smash Mouth. I'm pretty sure it was that year.
Yeah.
So with a lot of ties to that festival. It's a great festival town, and we're excited to come back over from Nashville now that we've moved away and come home and open for a headliner and put on a great show and have a big full circle kumbaya moment with our hometown.
A kumbaya moment. You know what they say? It's funny because I was actually listening to a podcast this morning, the DM Monday podcast with Trey Lewis. They're great guys. I think they're funny as hell.
What podcast is it?
The DM Monday podcast. They're funny as hell. I think they're great guys, and I know a couple of them. So I was listening to their episode this morning, and they were talking about how the hardest show to play is the homecoming show, because you never know like who's going to show out, and like it's also really easy to boo the hometown kids, right? I think it's cool that you guys are excited and that like your friends are going to be there and your family's going to be there and people are going to show out and you're going to rock the house. I think that's awesome. So I hope it's fun. I hope you have a good time. And
it's always fun, man. It's fun even when there's only one drunk dude sitting at the bar demanding like Freebird 18 times.
Hey, listen, you know, that's a tough guitar show.
You're putting money in the jar, bro. As long as you're putting quarters in the jukebox.
That's right. That's all that matters, right? That's all that matters. Are you guys big vinyl guys? Question.
Yes, dude. That's one of our next goals, man. And we are looking to put out an album sometime this year, a debut album. But that'll be the first time we do hard copy vinyl sales. So that'll be really fun.
Well, when that time comes, put me down for one. I have vinyl addiction.
First order's coming to wherever you live.
Coming to New Jersey. That's right. I have a vinyl problem. I really do. I'm not gonna lie. It's a lot of my paychecks go to vinyl.
Dad's got just big tubs, like 5 or 6 big, one of those big old tubs full of vinyls, man.
A vinyl problem is not a bad problem to have.
There are worse addictions to have than to vinyl.
See, that's what I tell myself. That's what I tell my girlfriend.
That's how you justify your terrible addiction.
Just because I love music, what's the difference? I mean, there could be so many worse things. So there's no problem with that. And I think it's great. But when that time comes, I'm glad that's on your goal. I think that's really important. The actual physical, hard copy of being able to listen to your music. I think it's so important. When that time comes, I want one
Yes, sir.
Put me on the list. I promise.
Signed, sealed, delivered, man. It's coming.
Yours. I love it. I love it. I love it. Guys, thank you for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. I'm so excited to see everything you guys got coming on the way. The three of you rock. You're very talented. You're incredibly mature for 22. That would not have been the case for me. Chaz, I see you smirking over there. I have a feeling that you're putting a face on, and that's totally okay. But you guys rock, and I think you're humble as hell, but you also kick absolute ass. So I'm super excited to see kind of what's in your plans and all the new music and just to see you take over the world here. So thanks for coming to hang, and I look forward to following along with your journey here.
Dude, we appreciate it, man. We're looking forward to the next time.
Of course. Anytime you let me know, shoot me a text. We're here the next day. Promise you. Next day we're in. You can go follow the guys here at The Band Trip on Instagram. That's all one word, 3 P's. See what you did there. Triplets. 3 P's.
So clever, man.
I get it. Look at you guys.
All three brain cells here.
Look at you guys. All three brain cells. I love it. Everybody, you can go follow them on Instagram and stay up to date with music and shows and all good things like that. You can go listen to any of their music wherever you stream music, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever it is. Go stream it. Go share it with your friends and share it on Instagram. Do all that good stuff. It really, helps spread the word of hardworking artists and great artists and writers and musicians and all that stuff. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Each week, new episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. This is another episode. I'm Kyle. That's The Band Trip. We'll see you next week. Bye bye now.